Describe everything. And it was truly some life-changing and spiritually enhancing things that went on. I'll try to do my best to represent what happened. And I have to give thanks to Robert for having the confidence in me to go alone this time. He stayed behind, and he's actually in Fiji right now, beginning the PIBC classes in another island. So we started out early in the year. I went to Saipan and taught there with Robert. And that was in February. And then beginning of June is when I went to Fiji. And then after that, I went on down to Tonga, and we'll be talking about the experiences there as well. But where in the world is Fiji? Well, Fiji's a long ways away. And it's a beautiful set of islands. Dan has been there a lot, and there may be some who've traveled there before. But I haven't counted the number of times I've been there now, but it's been great. Circled on the map are where there are churches in the nation of Fiji. There's two major islands. Viti Levu is the big island. That's the one on the bottom left that you see all the circles on. Vanua Levu is the other island that's a major island, and you can see there's a number of circles there too. And if the pointer works, I was teaching here in Savu Savu, and right now Robert is down in the Suva area, and there's about six churches in Suva spread around, and then there are other churches on the west coast. And I would travel from here in Suva to a small place called Vatandamu. And I'll tell you some stories, but some of them will have to be left to later. Also, there's a church way out here in what's called the Lao Group in Benua Balavu. There is a church there with a single family meeting, and that is remote. There's like one flight a week, and the people that travel there can't usually have the fares for a flight, so they take a fishing boat and a grocery boat, basically, and it takes 3 days to get there. So it's remote. But boy, what a blessing. I started out in Budha, which is right outside of Savu Savu. Savu Savu is a little one-street town. Beautiful place, right on the water. And wonderful people. But in Budha, there's a church that Robert had planted, and it's thriving. And I can tell you that the brethren in Budha and the brethren in Savu Savu are working wonderfully together. Once a month, they get together at one of or the other congregations and have a joint service. And the man that's teaching and preaching, Seru at Budha, is also teaming with the preacher at Vatandamu, who is Romulus, and they go to other places where there aren't preachers. Some of those places are hours away on a bus, and they'll just take their things and spend a night in the church building and teach and then come back the next day. So they are working hard together. And I do want to mention one thing, is that this past February, I believe it was, they had a workshop, which Robert actually started many years ago, but they've brought it back. And that workshop was in a place called Nambuwalu. It was on the map, but I won't go back to it. Nambuwalu is on the second island that I mentioned, and it's a ferry ride from Suva to get there. And they had 600 people, 600 Christians, in Nambuwalu, which has no hotels. They all got in a large tent that they had put up. They bring their gear, they sleep on a mat, and they spent 3 or 4 days in fellowship together. It's over 600 of them. And that was a wonderful thing for them. I love the children in Fiji. You'll see a bunch of pictures of the children here. They're so engaging. They love to love on foreigners. And it's just fun to be with them. In Vatandamu, You'll see the picture here of the transport, is what they call them, but it's basically a truck with wooden seats in them. And they ride in that truck from Buda about 40 minutes over the worst road in the world. I can take that back. There is another nation that has worse roads. But it was full of potholes. So bad that on the first night that I drove from Savu Savu to Vandamu, I had a flat tire from hitting potholes. And they're almost impossible to avoid. But I slowed down and took my time on the way back. But there you can see in the upper right-hand corner, the church meets in the home of Romulus. It has a small area that is used just for gathering, and that was a contribution from Robert Martin's funds, where he helps churches in the Pacific Islands. But brethren, one of the richest memories I have is being passed by that bus on the way home on the darkest road in the darkest nights with the children and the whole bus singing. And you could hear them throughout the hills of Savu Savu and on the way back. And it's a wonderful memory I'll never forget. And the children were so sweet. We had a lot going on there. We had 9 nights of teaching. I taught 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John there. And each night, we had a little fellowship afterwards where they would bring food. And Dan, I'm sorry, we are not the eatingest congregation. Maybe in the U.S. The Fijians know how to eat. And we had wonderful food. And they took good care of me. They're gracious people, and I just love every one of them. And we had a great time together. I had took the time. They wanted to learn a new song, so I said, okay, well, I'll teach you all of all to us. So if the clicker works right.
Okay, two, three.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful.
Play the whole thing, but you've heard that song, and they did a great job with it. And let me tell you, they weren't just singing the words. They were singing from the heart. And when they sang that chorus, it just gave me goosebumps. So, wrapping up in Savu Savu, and I could tell you many, many more stories about that part of the trip. It was just wonderful. I traveled on to Tonga. Tonga's about a 2-hour flight from Fiji. And about February, Robert asked me to go to Tonga on this trip. I'd been there once before. I'd met Alani, the preacher there. And he said, we need to check on them. We haven't heard from them in a long time. And I did my best to sleuth around and try to get back in touch with Alani. Finally got him through a contact I had in New Zealand, who gave me his Facebook page, and he only communicates now by the Facebook Messenger, and only in a few short words. So we arranged with Alani that I would come and was going to bring with me Ken Forrest, who's a preacher in Mississippi. Ken's a great soldier for the Lord. He is a great preacher, a great speaker, very enthusiastic. And I loved working with him. We worked well together. But in going to Tonga, we didn't know what we would find. We didn't know if Alani had members in the church or if he was by himself, because nobody had heard anything for a long time. So when we got there on Saturday, we got there on Friday, Saturday morning, we met with Alani. But just quickly, here's where Tonga is in relation to Fiji, which is about, like I said, a two-hour ride away. It's a group of islands. They're spread out over about 1,000 miles. I think there's 71 islands, and maybe 45 of them are inhabited. But a lot of things have happened in Tonga over the last 5 years. We stayed in Nuku'alofa, which is the capital city, and that's also where the church is. And this is a blow-up of Nuku'alofa, where the physical size in relation to all the group of islands is shown there. So they're spread out. Beautiful country, beautiful water. This is a map of Tongu Tapu, which is the main island where the capital is. And that little circled area there, I want you to just remember about that. I'm going to tell you some more about it. So, COVID-19. COVID-19 hit Tonga. And for a while, they had closed the island completely down. Nothing coming in, nothing going out. No people coming in, no people going out. And then they had numerous lockdowns during that period, and it went on through January of 2023. But then they had about 16,000 cases, almost 17. That's 16% of their population. Their population is only about 104,000 people. So it hit them pretty hard. And in a small nation like that, you don't have the resources that we have in the United States. They grew their own food. They took care of themselves. The government didn't do much because they don't have much to do or give. But they did have some relief that came. But then in the middle of that, you can imagine how bad COVID was for us. In the middle of that, in January of 2022, this happened. 36 miles away was the largest explosion of a volcano since Krakatoa in the 1700s. And it's just amazing. You can read on the slide how much of an impact that was to the people of Tonga. People I spoke to in Fiji heard it, the explosion thousands of miles away. People heard it in Australia. People heard it in New Zealand. People heard it in Anchorage, Alaska. And if you don't remember the stories about it, go back and look it up online. It will just blow your mind how big an event this was. And there they were, 36 miles away from it. So the volcano actually emitted 10% of the moisture that's in the atmosphere. They added another 10% of what is normally in the atmosphere. That's huge. And it had global impact. But for them, they had this great explosion of an underwater volcano. So when that happens, what happens? You have a tsunami. That's a picture, satellite photograph, and if you see these online, it's pretty dramatic. But you can see in relation to that little green dot how close Tonga or Nuku'alofa was to that, and some of the other islands as well. So after the eruption, this tsunami began to hit the island about 4 o'clock that afternoon. And that part of the picture that I asked you to remember that was circled, it was circled again there, that part of the island was swamped by a 60-foot high tsunami wave. And they come slow and build up. It totally wiped out that part of the island. Thankfully, there were only a few deaths. And you can just imagine the impact to the people there. The villages were wiped out. In the larger circled area, that's the most populated part of the island. The tsunami also hit there, but it was only about 2 or 3 feet of water in the city. But it washed away cars, it washed away homes, it washed away plantations or places where they planted their foods. So it was a major event for them. And then what else comes after that? Ash. The entire island was covered in ash for about 5 weeks. And not only that, the volcano wiped out their communications undersea cable for another 5 weeks. It just cut it. So here these people are, thousands of miles away, small island group. They were able to keep their power running, but here their lifestyle has been really turned upside down. That's a picture of the area that got overrun by the 60-foot wave. And it wiped clean two resorts that you would have seen there. And one death was a part of that. And there's one building there now, but it was built after the tsunami. So what would your state of mind be at that point? You know, here you had COVID-19. You had a volcano go off right in your backyard. You had a tsunami. The entire island was covered in ash. Telecommunications were cut off. They were totally dependent on what they could do for themselves until aid started arriving. So would it be the same as Job? You know, we've all read the book of Job. He was isolated. He was distraught, he was distressed, he was disillusioned, he was depressed. What can I do? What could I do? And you can read the scripture there. I'm sorry, I can't see it well from back here, but it says, "For the thing which greatly troubles," I'm sorry, I can't read it. But anyway, that passage is from the book of Job. And Job's state of mind at that time. Now, could that be your own words in the time of distress? We've all had troubles. We've all had things pile on us. We know what distress is. But these could be your words too. But where do you turn? The picture on the left is Alani in 2012. He's with a brother who now is in Suva, actually. But I visited back then just one Sunday. I was going to one of the other islands. And at that time, they had about 10 adults there. And I had lunch with Alani and his wife and a couple of family members. And he was telling me at that time he wanted to move to New Zealand. His kids were, two older boys were in high school. And a grade school, and he wanted to get them into high school. So I wasn't too sure if Lonnie would even be there when we got back. But he was. And that's a picture of the church building today. In the 2022 status, there were only three adult members meeting in that congregation. And at that time, some of his family members had just left the church, gone to the Mormons, which are very rich in the islands, and gone to Catholicism. Big change. Partially due to COVID, partially due to the tsunami and the economic conditions, but still, there was Alani by himself. No men to teach, no men to preach, no men to serve the Lord's Supper, just him. So you can imagine what his state of mind was. He was in a state of darkness. And we know that between darkness and light, there's a very fine line. You're either deep in it or you're in the light. Alani was in that darkness. Alani told us in tears, and I didn't write this down because I didn't want to spread this around other than in the recording. But in tears, he said to us, "I quit the church for a year. Nobody was meeting there." And he said, at the end of that year, and I don't know if it was exactly a year, He said, I couldn't stand it anymore. He said, I prayed fervently to God for help. Now, I don't know how long it was between that time and now, but we know God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. But God does answer our prayers. And if there's anything you take away from this tonight, God answers prayers. And I witnessed it in person. So whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And we know there's conditions on that, because obviously God's not going to give us something we don't want or don't need, excuse me. But He will give us what we need. He gave Alani what he needed. God answers prayers. We met with Alani on Saturday morning. That's when he told us about these events. And after he told us that, he looked us both in the eye. He says, you are the answer to my prayers. And boy, did that hit me hard. What could we do, you know? But Ken and I got together. We had been talking about how to set up a set of lessons for them. We assured Alani that we weren't coming here to chastise him, to judge him, or anything. We were coming here to help. And we asked him, how can we help? So we decided that with Alani, that over the next 4 nights, Sunday was coming up, and we agreed to preach for him. Ken preached that Sunday. I preached the following. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we had nighttime classes. And we didn't know how many people would show up. But of the three people that showed up, you know, in the interim when things were down, we had 14 adults there the first Sunday. 14 adults, not all Christians. And Alani's two sons were not Christians. There's a lady there named Nalini, a very sweet lady, who has 7 boys. She had 6 of her own and adopted one. None of them are Christians. And she wanted to be sure they were taught. So we taught that morning, and then Alani dropped us off at the hotel. And brethren, in Tonga, everything is closed on Sunday by law. There's only 2 places you could get food. We walked 2.5 miles to get to the food, but that was fine. And after that, we rented a car so we could get around. But I need to look at the words for a minute. Alani had asked the members to stay around that morning. And because of that, they talked about what we were going to do for the rest of this week. And they all vehemently agreed that we should have classes. And Nalini, the lady with the 7 boys, says, and I would like to have a class just for the men on Thursday. Well, after we got through Wednesday's classes, everyone agreed we want to have a class for everybody on Thursday. So we did that. We rotated teaching. We talked about the lessons we would give, encouraging lessons. I built off of his lesson Sunday. He built off of mine on Wednesday night or Tuesday night. Wednesday night I taught off of his, and then Thursday Ken taught us a lesson that was appropriate and strong. During that lesson, this was going to be a recording, but I didn't do it. Ken presented a lesson on salvation and what it takes to be saved. And he taught from Revelation chapter 22, you know, some hard verses there about the lake of fire. And the result was, I'll let this play. You're going to hear a song that was the invitation song. And I want to mention that Alani's son, Sammy, led the singing, even though he wasn't a Christian. He led the singing. He picked out this song. So listen to this song. Sitting up front, this big giant of a guy came, stood up in front of me, followed by Alani's two sons. So that morning, or that evening, three of those men responded to the gospel. And although it's kind of odd, Alani asked, well, should we do it now? And we both said, yes. No, wait a second. And then he said, well, where can we do it? Lonnie, we're on an island surrounded by water. So God works in mysterious ways. One of the ladies that was with us was a Fijian lady who I knew in Fiji. And she was working for a family there. And she says, I know a place. My boss owns a restaurant that overlooks what they call the swimming pool. Well, the swimming pool was like a 100-yard by 100-yard area that they had cordoned off in the ocean. So we headed toward the swimming pool. She got her boss got the guard to let us in because it was locked. So as we were doing the baptisms, the first one was Fuonu, who was one of the ladies that had the six children, or seven boys. That was her son. Another one was Maufu, who was Alani's son. Another was Sammy, Alani's son, who led the singing. And then as we were walking out of the water, one of the ladies came forward and said she wanted to put the Lord on in baptism. And we all took their confessions, and she was baptized. Akesa is her name. Brethren, it's moving when people are baptized. But on a pitch black night, a cold wind blowing, standing in the water, and these people are singing at the top of their voices, rejoicing that these people were added to the church. Now, do you think that lifted Alani up? That lifted the whole congregation up. And it was great to see that. So after that, we had a Sunday coming up. On Friday, Alani's 70-year-old brother was having a birthday party. He invited us to that party. And this was a Tongan feast where, this is the Tongan feast. They had 100 people at this party. They had 6 pigs, 3 picnic tables full of food. I mean, piled with food and good food. And we got to take part in the cultural experience there. Dancing girls, although they were about, 6 years old, they did traditional dances for the party guy. And you can see the beautiful young ladies there and the cakes. But also during the week, after each service, they would serve us a meal. In the top left, that was the first night. Coconut, that we drank the coconut water out of, and a piece of pork belly sandwich, which was very good. But boy, did it grow after that. And then the last night, you can see that table full of food. But anyway, they were very good to us. And this was the Sunday after services food. We had 2 pigs and all kinds of great food. They were very gracious and very grateful. And they recognized that you all sent me. And Ken's congregation sent him. And what a great blessing that was for this church. Brethren, the day that before we left, we had time alone with Alani and his wife, Mary. They took us around the island a little bit to see some things we hadn't seen. And we just had fellowship together. They picked a beautiful beach that was totally isolated. And we sat down on the ground and had a little picnic with food that we had. And we just got to know each other better. They took us to the airport on Sunday, or on Tuesday morning at 3 in the morning to catch our flight back to Nandi. And both at Sunday afternoon or Sunday after services, Alani just said, "I have no words," in gratefulness to our being there. Very humbling and rewarding experience. So we need to pray for Alani. We need to pray for that congregation. We're prepared to go back. I will probably make a trip before the end of this year to go back because they need frequent feeding. Brethren, we are fed to the hilt here, and we should never take it for granted. He has nobody to come help. And I hope to go back, and I hope to go back next year with Robert when we finish teaching in Suva next year, or excuse me, in another area of Fiji. But these are rich experiences. The people are gracious and wonderful, take good care of us, feed us well, and they are spiritually minded, and they need food. They need spiritual food. So thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to be your representative. And it's been a great, wonderful experience.